the dark nights were doomed, but they'll always be the same. Yeah. Penny for my thoughts, cause you know I'm trying to change. If I ever took a loss, charge it to the game. When we see
yo, guys, we don't listen to him. Yeah. Your pod religiously. Like.
Thank you. I said, we're good, aren't we? We're the best. We're the best right now. We're the coldest to do. Let us know. Shout out Samantha. Samantha's letting us. And everybody knows who's the coldest to do. We just, yeah, we don't worry. Good. Creative directors and all that to come soon.
Fam.
Changing the building. They're building a small little team over here on Charger.
No, we're doing our thing.
Yeah. Well, what's
popping, G?
Yeah. Do you know, I was thinking, I was driving here today, yeah? Mm-hmm. Like, then I was deep and I was like, I know you. But I don't know if I know you, if that makes sense. Like, tell me a bit. What age did you even come to Ireland?
I want to say, like, from five-ish, maybe.
Did you come straight from Niger? Or
no, we lived in London for like a year. That's where I got expelled. I got expelled in London.
Oh, okay. So yeah. You didn't even know that. Were you born there or you born in Niger?
London? No, I'm born in Niger.
Okay.
My parents, my father moved to London or whatever, yeah.
Okay.
Then my mom moved over. So we were left in Niger with my grandparents.
Okay.
And so we were there for, I don't know how long we were there for. And then we finally came. Then shit went down. Then my mom took us to Ireland. We started in Dublin, went down to Galway. We lived in Toome for like, I don't even know how long. Like we're living in like hostels and like, we lived in a hotel for a minute. Then we lived in a hostel for a bit. Then one day, we're going to Navan.
So it was just been you and your mom, basically, since you were five, obviously with your siblings.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It was random, bruv.
And then what was that like? Like, obviously, you grew up in Navan. Did you have dreams and aspirations of what you wanted to be when you were young? Like, you know, I wanted to do football. But again, that's what I mean. Like, I know you, but I don't think I've, like, talked to you about these things.
Honestly, if I'm being completely honest with you, I low-key think I checked out young.
Check that out. This life thing, yeah.
Nah, check that out in terms of like, I wasn't like, there were certain things like, yeah, that would be cool to do, whatever. But yeah. Like, I didn't really have, and this sounds weird to say, but I didn't really have like stupid, like, I knew I wanted to have peace. I wanted to be rich and shit like that. And I knew that I want to run my own business and stuff like that. But outside of that, I was taking things from other people as opposed to like, oh my God, I really want, like, I've never had the football dream. I knew from young, I didn't have, so I knew I didn't have, like, I never had that football dream. And there's not really things that like, oh my God, like my dream car, I don't really have one, or my dream this, like, so I just kind of existed and just kind of went through it. Then, oh my God, like I really had this, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get you. So, because obviously a lot of us had the football dream, and I also had a doctor dream, but that stemmed from my dad. My dad watches football, he watches sports. He's like, it's a sport maniac, and he was a doctor. So, and I'm in science, and that kind of where I come from. Because then I was thinking, driving here, I was like, I've actually never asked Dej what did he want to be when he was younger? What did he want to do?
Oh, actually, there was two times. The first time, when they asked me what I wanted to be, well, I was probably like 4 or 5, I wanted to be an ice cream man so I could get free ice cream for life. Yeah. And then the next thing is, I actually wanted to be a taxi man because when I was young, my dad was a taxi man.
Yeah.
So it was like, and he used to have like a radio. He used to have a radio, like an actual radio in the car. Yeah. So like, it was like a Roger. So I was like, oh, I'll be a Roger when I grow up kind of a situation. Mm. But apart from those are the only two things. Wait, when did you, born in Congo.
Then my dad was good friends with, I've talked about Chris, maybe my hope. After the night I go to Morris's wedding, I want to get Chris and Morris on the pod.
That would slap.
I'm going to try. Morris probably won't do it, but I'm going to try. That's the hope. So, but and then my dad and Chris's dad were best friends in college. So then they joined the army because my dad told me the story that they weren't getting paid. And his dad, my granddad, was like about to get evicted. So a quick way to make money was the army was recruiting. So he joined the army.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because he wanted to support the family, his family, like his dad. And in that happening, there was a bit of unrest in Congo. So my dad and Chris's dad went to the Central African Republic, which is a different country. We followed them there with Chris, like me and Chris, the two families. Yeah. We followed them there. We lived together for a while. It's mad, the concept of time. Being young, yeah, I thought I lived in that country for ages. Yeah. In reality, I lived under 2 years. Like, it was 18 months. Mm-hmm. And in 2002, we came to Ireland, lived in a hostel in Drogheda, where I lived out, ironically. Then I went to Maynooth, then I went to Ilkhavn, then Maynooth, and then Balbriggan. And obviously, I didn't move out of Balbriggan until I got married.
Oh, quick question here. Did your dad get deployed, like?
Yeah.
Front
yeah,
line?
Yeah.
Straps and that.
You used to have a gun in the gaff.
Oh, I need to talk to your dad on this podcast.
I've asked him to come. He said he's not going to do it. I've asked him before. He said he's not going to do it. So,
gas him. Tell him Fix wants him to do.
Your grandson. So because of that unrest, and that's why I'm so close with them, because I lived with Chris's family in the same house and we shared beds, and then we came to Ireland together on the day. So that was the quick journey of how we kind of like got to Ireland. And from young I knew, like, we've talked about it, like, I had a dream to play football, but I didn't really, like, after that I didn't really have a dream to
do anything much
else. That's the only dream I have. So I guess I want to be, I still, some days I'm thinking I would love to be in sports, but not in a corporate way, because a corporate job is a corporate job. The older you get, you understand, if I'm sitting at a desk working for Chelsea, I'm sitting at a desk working for Chelsea.
Your job, you're like, it doesn't come with the flash of the first team shit that you see on TV.
Exactly, yeah. So I think that's kind of the short story. But, and with that, yeah, living in Ireland, Maynooth, Cavan, Babrigan is where I would say I probably grew up. Would you say the same about Navan?
No, Navin's where I grew up.
How long have you been there now?
Oh, I think we got to Navan. When we got to Navan, I started in second class. Sixth class was 2007, so if you count that back, what, 2000?
Yeah, second class, I think I started in Ireland in third class.
2003 or something like that,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, 2002. I knew I came to Ireland in 2002 because it was straight after the last time Ireland played in the World Cup was 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And we came the week after that World Cup was over. So,
what was that like? Like, what's called, like, what am I even trying to say?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, what's the dynamic at home like? It's just you, it's your mom and three kids, and so essentially you and the siblings.
Yeah.
What was that like?
In terms of what, like, I feel like we've gone through many different phases in terms of, like, obviously coming here, it was weird at first because... Now me like having to spoken to my mom now, and understanding what age she was and all of that. I think she was like, I want to say 31.
With three kids.
Three kids.
I'm 31 this year. I'm still a boy.
Do you get what I mean?
One kid and I'm shook.
three kids. One of them, because my brother was only like one. Like he was still relatively fresh.
Yeah.
So like three kids, just going through a mad situation, and it was just like just watching her deal with that. So it was just kind of like being in the hostels and like I saw my mom cry a lot. Like it was weird. So like me and my sister would always, I think why me and my sister are so cool is because a lot of those times, like Yusuf, GB he was still a youth. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So like a lot of it was me and my sister. Do you get what I'm saying? Me and my sister looking out for each other. Mm-hmm. So that's why me and my sister have always had like a super close relationship, because back then she used to take care of me, or like we just used to bop around. Like we were only like
that story you told about thinking you're in town, it was just the two of you, and you had to find your way home.
Yeah. Literally, so like we've just have enough of them situations. We never really thought about stuff like that, but yeah, like it, like you know what it is. It, you know, when life is just normal to you, it's just normal.
Yeah.
Like what's
but now you have the benefit of hindsight.
Yeah,
you're looking back and you're thinking like, "Wow, mom really must have gone through it, because to be here after a situation, you've left your husband at the time." You're in a new country, three kids. You don't know how the systems here work. You gotta get them into the system and get yourself in the system. You know.
Yeah, like it was, you know, just living, because I didn't realize that I lived in direct provisions until literally like
until you heard the word direct provisions. Yeah,
we were having a podcast on Zoom with somebody, and it was like
I think it was Divana.
Yeah, or something like that, and I was like. Yeah. Oh shit, this is what you man are talking about.
Yeah.
I lived in that.
Yeah.
And it was just weird, like, because, like, you have your room, obviously, and then there's a canteen. You go to the canteen, you come back to your room kind of situation. You're not really allowed to, you didn't have a stove or whatever. So my mom learned how to just cook everything in either a rice cooker or a kettle. So it was just like, bro, mom was doing like we're in jail, busting up in the kettle. But like, I don't know. I can't explain to you how it was, because it was just normal to me. Do you get what I'm saying?
Life, and then you moved to Navan then after the diaper. That's where you said you grew up. How do you now make friends like, say, Moyo, Irene, and
For the most part of it, like, the first my guy Toby, he was in, because we had two second classes, so I was in one, he was in the other. So, and from that point on, obviously we're in the same year every year. When I get to secondary school, we end up in the same class as well. So we've just been, and then Toby's mom's like Toby's mom, genuinely, I love that woman. Like, she's like a second mom to me, because, like, when my mom couldn't be at parent teacher meetings and all of that, she was one who'd go for me. Obviously, we're in the same class. It made sense as well. Like, I always say, my mom would tell me I'm going to the house for 2 weeks. I'll end up there for four. Or I'll go to their house for, not four, but like, let's say I'm going there for for 5 days. I'm 2 weeks later, I'm still here. Mm-hmm. She used to pick up my mom, my brother from school as well. So like, we just became close then. Then Moyo lived right around the corner from me, and we were in the same school. So then one day, I can't remember what happened. I think maybe because my mom was doing hair, one day his mom came to our house and was maybe doing her hair. She brought Moyo and Moyo's little brother. Me and my brother were just there. And we live right around the corner from each other, and we go to the same school. So it's kind of like, we just started hanging out a lot more. And then, for the most part, like, my first time going swimming and shit like that, and doing all these kind of things, were Moyo's family. Okay. So it's just kind of like...
And you think we've lost that sense of, like, community that, I guess, they were forced into, because your mom is here with three kids. Whoever can take, like, something off her plate, please. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can look after my DJ for a few hours while I go, I can't attend this parent teacher meeting. You've said on the pod, your mom had to work two jobs at times. Mm-hmm. So do you think that maybe our generation, because we already have our people here, we won't have to, like, look for it as much? Do you think we're going to miss that?
No, I don't think we will, because, like, I thought that, but I think it's just because none of us had roots laid down. Mm. Whereas with you now, your what's called your wife's Pilates friend lives right beside you.
Yeah.
That's eventually gonna be.
Yeah, I can't pick up the kids today. Can you?
Do you get what I'm saying? Or
can you stay there until I'm back from work? I'll pick you up.
And most likely, like, what's called
your son? They're born the same year, so
they're born the same year. They're gonna be in the same class. Yeah. They're most likely gonna go to the same school.
Yeah.
Like, you, both of you guys bought your houses.
Mm.
Like, naturally, it's just gonna happen.
We've had this conversation. That's why I don't think that's what we've, like, forced it. It's kind of naturally happened, knowing that we have boys the same age, and Simi's so big on, like, him having black boyfriends, which I understand. Like, you don't want to be around other people that look like you and can relate. So sometimes you do think, like, are we going to have that same community? But I'm seeing it.
Yeah, but, like, it was always going to happen. So what about you growing up?
Like, I grew up, we lived in a council housing. We offered a council housing, Blanche, Tala, or Balbriggan. But at the time, you know, Blanche and Tala, they had those reputation. My dad was like, even when we were in Central African Republic, we had, because we were doctors, and they said, yo, we can get you out of this country if you guys can go to the US or Ireland, or I think it was Canada. Mm-hmm. My dad didn't want to go to the US because he thought we'd be in gangs. So he didn't want to raise, he doesn't raise black kids there. That's why we're in Ireland. We picked Balbriggan mainly that same reason. Chris's family already lived in Balbriggan. So you have a community there. And then I had Chris, went to school, only black guy in my class, and I met my friend Daniel at the time. And shout out Daniel, because he's the reason I have my friends. My core group of friends is because of that guy. Mm-hmm. He was a big football fan. I had a cheat code in sports because it was easy to find a tribe when you play sports or you like sport. I remember my first day in sixth class, I played with my class and I scored the winner against the other sixth class.
You get gas, bro.
Yeah, and then already people are drawn to you. Mm-hmm. So I've never felt like I was an outsider until... You get called a nigger. You feel like they're your boys. You feel like, crap, I found my group. Mm-hmm. And you're quickly reminded through your skin color, no, you are black.
just so you know, you're black, any
given time. Mm-hmm. But living in Balbriggan, no real complaints. Like, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed, like, I'm one of those people that I look back at my childhood. I loved school. And when time comes, I'm going to say this to him. I grew up with, like, in my school, especially my class, there was loads of, like, Nigerian kids. So I was immediately already, this is my group of friends. That's why I said I miss the old Nigerians. That's who I grew up with. They came in their teens. And having someone like him was so helpful. Like, the biggest compliment I can give him is, like, I want my son to have a title in his life. Because he really protected me. I was a skinny, dark-skinned guy, and people used to pick on me. Mm-hmm. And he used to stand up for me. He used to look out for me. He introduced me to Jollof. he told me when we were 15, he says, you're going to marry a Nigerian girl because you love Jollof so much.
He was right.
So having that, the only thing, I was saying it to my brother, growing up, a lot of things came easy naturally. I could play football. I was good at school, so I didn't know how to work hard. Like, hard work, if anything required hard work, I said, I don't want to do this. I would cower away because it's not coming easy to me. Mm-hmm. So why am I doing this? And over time, you get older, you realize, like, you just can't keep running away from hard work.
Yeah.
And the dynamic at home was calm, like, two-parent household. My dad in hindsight, I get it. Like I've said before, I wish he showed up for me a bit more in the things I've cared about. Mm-hmm. But he's also in a country with 3 kids and his qualifications don't mean anything. So he's not worried about me showing up to your training. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
How am I going to feed you? Eventually, you're going to get to an age where you're going to go to university and get an education. And he's not aware of like the grant system. He doesn't know these things. Just in the country, he doesn't know how the systems work. For him, I have to pay for your education because that's what you do at home. Do you know that kind of way? My mom, church fearing woman, I've never really seen my parents dispute or bicker.
Yeah.
And I think that was one thing I said to my wife. I was like, we're human beings. Whatever you do, I just want you to watch how you speak to me in front of my son. Because I've never seen my parents call each other out their names in my life till this day. So I think that was a dynamic at home. It was good. Like, it was good. 3 siblings, different. I'm really close to my brother, though. Like, especially as you get older, like you and your sister. It was the 2 of you walking to school. It was me and Nathan walking home from school, waiting for Nathan. And Nathan has a stutter. So people picking on him, I have to look out for him. So,
I hear you. What's going on? Do you have like, obviously everyone has like childhood memories or whatever. Do you have like a standout one, good or bad?
Oh, yes, I have a good one. I'm so big on how people make you feel.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get called like you're black like charcoal, you're this and that, you're this, and Ty will literally grab him someone says if you call him that again, it just made me feel like, I can't explain it. It's like someone loves me for who I am. And when you're young and you're insecure, it's hard. You start to believe what people are saying.
Yeah.
And for one person that's like your best friend to kind of stop it, you're like, oh, right, this nigga sees me beyond this. I know, like, it's so corny to say, but when you're younger, you actually it means a lot. That's like a... That's it. But a good one, a bad one, I think that was just like... Yeah, that's mainly it that I remember. Do you remember then your first girlfriend?
Yeah, vividly, yeah.
How did that come about? Like, how did you have your first... You're going to talk about your first girlfriend and maybe your first love. Let's get to know each other today, bitch.
My first girlfriend, yeah. So, what's it called? What even happened? Like, my mom and her mom were friends, yeah. So, she'd always be around and she'd be in the house and shit like that, yeah. But she was an annoying little shit back then. Like, you know, it goes from the typical... I hate you. I don't like you. Oh, you know, you gotta get.
Hey, Arnold, the cartoon.
Yeah. So, what's it called? So she would be in the house, whatever. But she'd always hang around with my sister, kind of a situation. But she was just annoying back then. And like, I remember back then she got me in trouble as well. There was one time I was like teething like sweets or something like that. Yeah. Mm. And like I had them in the back of my wardrobe. She walked in on me having some. She's like, "Oh, give me some, innit?" So after a while, I gave her some. She goes into my mom's room and they're like, "Where'd you get that? Did you give it to me, bruv?"
That's like, you should have done like Jimmy. I can't trust you again.
Do you get what I'm saying?
You're breaking the trust of this relationship.
Do you get what I'm saying? But like, yeah. So then it keeps going on. We get getting older now. You know, she's looking at you like, yo, you're kind of cute, you know.
Do you know how she looks like that?
What's the cool?
Okay.
Yeah. You know what? Like, I will say, I feel like maybe I don't know if it's growing up in Navin or whatever, but I think because we had such a small community, a lot of us are still really cool.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I feel like I have, like I always say, I have the blessings of like most of the people that I've met when I was younger, like most of my friendships, like my real, real friendships, bro, 15, 16, 17 years. But bro, I'll tell you, I met my boy Pop Toby in second class. Moyo I've known since probably second class as well. My boy Steve that I told you I did the event for. Bro, I think I've known him single digits, like all these people kind of situation. But yeah, so I'm still young at this point, yeah. And like, I'm still shy and like not really, I don't know what, like this is not my first situation with a girl, but like minus the, when your kids doing mommy and daddy, all that kind of shit. This is my first like, yo, I like you. Like, what am I going to do anyways? So I have a couple moments. Then we moved to, funnily enough, the house that we're in now. She lives 10 doors down.
Oh, mad.
She lives right there, kind of a situation. Mad. So it goes back and forth, whatever. Chat to my sister about it. And like my sister had, what even happened? I just asked her to be my girlfriend anyways, yeah. Because I can't fully remember exactly what happened. I asked her to be my girlfriend, yeah. But you know when you're young, because I was like 12. You know when you're young and you don't know what the fuck that actually means.
Then
I started getting shy and I just didn't chat to her.
What do I do with these
days? like what do I do? And it's like 4 days or 5 days a week or whatever. But the thing is, it's not like I didn't care or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but then my sister had a little boyfriend at the time, innit? and he'd written her a letter. I say, yeah, swear. Fam, there was like two bars in it that were cold. I took that shit.
All right, Drake. It doesn't even write his own song. It doesn't write anything.
Two bars in it that was cold. Wrote it down. Folded it, brought to her house. Because the people this, yo, I'm coming through. Went to her house, whatever, slid it to her, went home. You know, this was risky text. Turn the phone.
That was my original risky text.
Bro, her letter, whatever. She told me she still has it, funnily enough.
Oh, man.
She doesn't know where it is, but she still kept it. Yeah, but anyways, then after that, things just started flying, innit?
Yeah.
Like, what's called? We'll be chatting on the phone, blah, 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 because her mom owned the shop as well. So we'll be chatting on the phone for time. And, like, because I could see her house from my mom's room in her house. So I'd go to, because this is before we had, like, ourselves, innit? So go to my mom's room, mom's not home, chatting on the phone for time. You know when you're in the bed, just legs, feet up, just blah, 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 blah.
I want to have two babies. The boy first, they can take the girl.
Oh. you know exactly how it goes.
Back from work, from work, back from work.
And then mom's home, and go.
Oh, man, my mom caught me on the phone to a 3 a.m. one day, talking to a girl. I was like, would you like it if your guy was talking to your sister till 3 a.m?
I don't care.
What do you mean?
But yeah, that was the story of how I bagged my first girlfriend, man.
Yeah, no, mine was, I think it was around first, oh no, sixth class. One mixed race girl. Shout out her, yeah. Or sixth class, same thing. She was kind of like, let's just say, at some stage, everybody in the class was her boyfriend. So it was just my turn. It was just my turn to be a boyfriend. And I remember, like, she said, oh, she fancies you. And this was back then when, like, when someone fancies you, you kind of feel like, I have to fancy them back because they fancy me. I don't want to hurt their feelings. Not that she was a good-looking girl, like, and that was it. But my first proper one, I'd say, was secondary school, where I was kind of like, you know, when you're going on walks around
town,
you're trying to find corners. And one summer, like, I remember saying that, like, oh, we used to be good friends. We always sit beside each other in class. And someone saying, like, oh, she's feeling you. She's feeling the vibes. And then one summer, I sat. She just disappeared for the summer. I couldn't locate her. Like, she wouldn't answer her phone. And you know what's funny is, we have to go to school in September. So it came to May. We're all throughout the school year. We'd walk back home from school together. Mm-hmm. On a Friday, we'll take the long way home. And it just got to, like, May. I just couldn't locate her. And after a while, I was like,
I guess we broke it up.
Charge it. And then I started going out with the one that made me eat breakfast.
Yeah.
After that. And I came back to school and she was like, oh, we never broke up though. I was like, what? Yeah, we did.
Did you just disappear?
Why
didn't you hit her on Bebo or something? Or MSN?
I did. Bebo, MSN, knock at the door, exercise every option.
And did she ever give you a reason for where she just went to?
No, I tried to ask her. She said she's like, you didn't want to talk about it. Funny enough, like, obviously, we still
have. She had a boyfriend over the summer, bro.
we still have our socials. And on LinkedIn, she was like, when can I come visit your kid? I was like, what are you talking
about? Never.
Those people kill me. It's like, brother, we've not talked in like 10 years. I've not seen you in like 6. Why do you think you can just come and visit my kid?
Bro, you're a stranger. Literally. Why do you think I just and come of visit all my people, kid? My ex. My first one.
But I shout out her though. She was a cool person. And then I remember she secretly went to one of my boys, but she didn't tell me. He didn't tell me. I think I've said this before. He didn't tell anybody. He didn't tell the boys. And then we're at one of those house parties, walking her home, found corner, started lipsing or whatever. Then the next day she called me outside again. I thought we were about to run it back. You know, like, yeah, this can't. She's like, oh yeah, by the way, I have a boyfriend. I was like, rah. It's like it's your boy.
After God,
but that was the first. Yeah, that was shout out her. And then do you remember the first time you fell in love? And do you think you know what it was like for you to say this is love?
Are we talking about the first time I thought I fell in love?
Yeah. Your first perception of love.
Because
whatever I thought love was at 16 is definitely not what I think love is now.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Yeah. I actually don't even know. You know. Like, I'd say, you know what? When I was 12, 13 with my first girl, like I thought, yo, I love you, bro. I don't think we ever said it to each other.
Yeah.
Because then later on, because obviously we still knew each other. Like we still, you know what it was. Yeah, it was one of them situations where we had our childhood, we had our thing when we were kids, whatever, And then we had moments, we had different moments again when we're like 15 and then maybe like 18.
Oh, okay.
Do you get what I'm saying? So yeah, I'd probably say that, but like...
Yeah, no, I think it's so weird looking back because you say what love is because you're so much older. It's like, like I thought that's what love was. Like I thought the girl when I was out here, when they said you were a junkie, weren't you? Like you think that's you think that's what love was. And sometimes I hate saying it wasn't and downplaying it because it was what I thought it was.
It was in that moment. That's
in
what
that moment. Well, that's what I thought it was. But yeah, everybody knows.
Yeah, but the thing is it downplaying it if like, all right. Let's say the one that made you chop breakfast here. Like at the moment, that was the deepest thing you've ever felt.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you
yeah.
thought you'd hit like I hit the belly, and then now it's like rah. When I look back at it, how I feel about this one.
Yeah,
compared if to this is what I call love, that couldn't have been love.
That's a good point because it's like what I feel in my house now every day with my wife is like no, love is just more than just the feeling you're feeling. It's like we're. Bad days, good days. Everybody heard that story, going through that life with someone and seeing the other side and still finding happiness. You're like, rah, this is love.
What you like when you're angry? Like, you know when you're angry, right? And you're dealing with your wife, yeah. And like everybody, you know the person you love the most can piss you off the most as well. And like, cause I find what I find weird is right. Somebody that gets angry and somebody that they supposedly say they love. It's like when you're angry, you just don't love that person anymore, which doesn't make sense to me.
No,
even if I'm angry at you, yeah, if you're my babes, yeah, even if I'm angry at you and you need something, I will do it with a face on. I'm a pissed, but I'm still do it.
Have you not driven in a car in silence because you've already made a commitment at this point?
Do you get what I'm saying?
I've told you Friday night we're going out, Saturday night we're going out. I'm still going to get ready. Like, I will stand on my word regardless how I feel. Mm-hmm. Or this podcast probably would have nothing to do with this podcast. If this podcast was based, like, as small as this is, if this is based on how I feel in the day, I'm not coming.
Oh, it's bedtime.
So, I'm not that type. If I told you this is what I'm going to do for you, regardless how I feel, anybody, even you, like, if I said, Dej, this is what I'm going to do, regardless how I feel that day or that moment, I said, nah, I've told Dej, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. So I'm not the type that, like, if I'm angry at you, I might be angry, I might have got frustrated, my voice might have gotten a bit too loud, I might have acted out of character, or I've said things that I probably, fuck, I shouldn't have said that. Granted. But if it comes to showing up for you and being there for you or when you need something and you call my name on it, every single time, if I can, I will. Every single time, without a doubt.
Why
are you like?
No, I feel like I'm the same. Like, yeah.
But have you met people that, like, because of, you kind of have to wait on how they feel to get them to do a certain action? Like, for example, you're watching Sopranos now.
Mm-hmm.
Where you are is, we're going to talk about this fully when you're done, by the way. Where you are is Carmela was dating the teacher.
Yeah.
And he feels like you have to be in a good mood for me to have sex with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, she's not gonna give him that, regardless of how she feels. She has to feel a certain way for him to get that. Have you ever met people like that?
I've probably heard people talking to me about somebody else, but I don't think personally like that. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you know what? The best way to put it is like, you're angry. You guys are mad. You just got into a huge fight, but you're hungry, and I'm ordering food. Mm. Are you ordering your babe's food?
Yeah, 100%.
Do you get what I'm saying? But like, cause like, I feel like there's some people that is like, petty. I'm mad. I'm not talking to you, and start getting petty out of it. And it feels like what I describe it as is like, you might be angry at me, but it's not like you don't love me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, someone takes like almost like they take the love away, and it's like almost like, bro, you're a stranger to me.
Yeah. Because if like I've seen by your mom or whatever, no matter how annoyed she is at you, if she has a commitment for you, if she has to give you that €20 for your lunch, she's pissed off at you. She'll still do it because love isn't just an emotion; it's what you learn when you get older.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the commitment to your words and your actions, true, like regardless of how you feel in that moment. Because that moment will pass, and if you order that Chinese and you didn't order for her, now you have to hear about how selfish you were that you didn't do that. So I think that's another thing I've learned is like, regardless how my people around me have felt, once they've given me their word to do something, most times they've pulled through and they've done it.
What's called in the spirit of getting to know each other? Yeah, what's a hardship that you face when like. When you were young, like
when I was young, a lot of things came naturally. Even school up to the junior cert, I got like 3 A's, 4 B's. Like a lot of football came easy. The hardest thing I then felt being an African, especially the firstborn, is setting an example and getting into college, for example, because I repeated the leaving cert first, and then I went to the PLC, and then I finally got in. So watching your friends progress in life.
Mm-hmm.
And while you feel like you're not going to make it or you're not as smart as everybody,
yeah.
that insecurity really played on me. It's like, raw, I'm watching at Ubes in DCU. My friend Bashir is in Trinity. Moore studying law. Chris is in DCU. You feel like a failure. You like, this is the first bit of adversity I've had to go through, because everything else up to this point came relatively easy. I've never had to be like, your back's against the wall. You're just not going to show up and do well. You actually have to put work in. And putting work in, you learn that it's not guaranteed. Like, you're going to do well. So watching your peers progress while you feel like you're not, mentally was hard. It's like, and at that stage, that is probably the hardest thing I've had to deal with. Like, am I going to be good enough to build a life for myself? If I don't get an education, what life am I going to live? You don't have the information. Now you know that, like, yeah, you'll be grand. But at the minute when you're 16, you don't have the information. So every day you're fighting with yourself. Or like, and you also have a girlfriend at the time. You're like, how is she perceiving me where all my boys are doing this and I'm still here? How are my parents perceiving me when they're watching Chris get into DCU and I'm still here?
Yeah, no, I feel you.
So the perception of everybody, or what you think to yourself, and then yourself, you're like, rah, I'm the only one that's not going to do it. So that kind of sucks. What about yourself?
I think for my one, mine is probably the way that we were looked at in the community for a while, in terms of like, oh, single parent.
Yeah.
Bruv, like, people, you know what, people are just horrible, bruv.
Yeah, that's like, why I said thank you at that episode, with like, because I was like, Simi was here. People could have been horrible, like, but they weren't. But
yeah. Well, first of all, like, let's give Simi a flower. Simi's actually caught that party.
Yeah, very good, very. That's what we do at home. All the time. Just share these opinions. Yeah.
Yo, you know what? Start a podcast.
I can't add another thing to my list. Too much. Sorry, the perception.
But yeah, so like, fam. One, I feel like this moment probably changed. Probably derailed a lot. Not derailed, but changed the course of our lives in a weird way. So there was, we're living in Navinia, and there was this family that lived not too far from us, right? They were black, and we were cool with them. Like, I would hang out with the brother all the time. There was like four or five girls and one boy. I would hang out with the brother, and then one of the girls is my age as well. Do you get what I'm saying? So, and then they had an older sister, and the older sister was the same age as my sister as well. So they were cool. So we were cool. Do you get what I'm saying? And then one day my sister comes home, and the other family's daughter said to my sister, almost like her mom said to her, that, yo, I don't want you hanging around with them. Like, and you're about like, yo, single parents' kids don't do well. And obviously, my mom says that to my sister says that to my mom. And obviously, my mom flips out. Because that's crazy. But like, that's what it was almost, it was like you get looked down at as if your mom's a single parent or something like that. Like, they look down at a divorce and shit like that. And I think, because I've kind of spoken to my mom about it, I think that was the moment where she's like, oh, I swear, innit? Cool. And she started putting all of her energy into us. Do you get what I'm saying? But like, within the community, like, there was rumors being spread that, oh, this is happening and this is happening, and like, niggas. And, do you get what I'm saying? Like, just a lot of like...
That's a heavy, especially being young, and you just hear this way, especially when you know it's not true. And you just keep hearing about it. It's like, then you start thinking like, oh, why do they, like, why do these people not like us? What do they have against us? Like, what's going on here?
You know what it was, yeah? Like, and it's like, bro, when I think about some of the things that have circled back, yeah, like, there was one time, apparently people were saying that my mom was bringing home men for my sister to sleep with. And I'm just like, in your head, like, actually think about what you're saying. Do you know how fucked that is?
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? But like, it was just how...
Charlamagne says it, like, nobody cares about the truth when the lie is just more entertaining.
Do you get what I mean?
So this one, they can ruin this agenda and this narrative. And I'm on a fear for agenda, but when it affects people's livelihoods and people's life, and you, like, all for what?
Do you get what I mean?
All for what, you know?
Look, for a bit, just in it. But like, but like, yeah, so in them situations, yeah, it was just then, like, and then now, I didn't realize it when I was at that age, but I think I realize it now more that I'm older. Like, you know when people say, like, you know, okay, you know what it is, yeah? You know when people are being abused and shit like that, right? And it's like someone's telling you're stupid every day, you're stupid every day.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
From the outside, people are like, yeah, but obviously you're clearly not dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not stupid. Like, so you don't feel like you internalize that.
Yeah.
But if someone says something to you enough, you're going to internalize that. Mm-hmm. So my mom's thing is, remember whose kids you are every time I went out. Mm-hmm. Every time, did you don't fight, remember whose kids you are kind of a situation. I think
because then, you already have a bad perception of us. And if you then do something, you just reinforce the whole single parent household.
Do you get what I mean? Yeah, so then, and then I think that made her go almost extra hard with, not our PR, but our PR in the situation of like, like me and my brother have great PR, and like I always say, mothers love me. Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, but I think it a lot of it stems from probably that moment of like they don't expect you to do well, and then you know almost like that siege mentality, like it's us against them. So I feel like that's probably one of the standout moments from my childhood of like,
and it is a statistic in America that single, like even colleges, when they look at people they want to pick for their college or recruit or that's going to come there, it's income and family dynamic. Like, what kind of background are you coming from?
Mm-hmm.
But it's annoying to just then create the perception based on like, a lot of people just because they want to feel better about themselves. You have to understand, some people are probably, they're in shit marriages. Their husband cheats on them, but they just want to feel like they're better because at least my husband is around. Yeah. Like, at the same time, it's like, yeah, but this guy is texting your kid's friends.
No, but you know what? the reason why I hear it from them is because for a lot of these older generation, like women and stuff like that, yeah, marriage is the pinnacle. Like, you almost don't get respected. Like, is the reason why I asked me the question of like, yo, now that you're married with a kid, do you get different respect from them? Because it's like, have you noticed when, maybe you haven't seen it as much, but like when a lot of the older aunties are beefing, the first thing they draw for is, where's your husband?
Mm-hmm.
It's always the first the first insult they draw for. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like,
so it makes you an easy target. Men are the price.
This is why we can have a serious conversation and judge it. But I hear though.
In that community, yeah, it is because... Even, again, I was listening to the lads and they were talking about that dress like your prayer thing. And the conversation went back to like dressing in, people going in a wedding dress. Because in certain communities, you won't be acknowledged for your achievements as a woman, regardless of what they are, until there's a husband beside you.
Do you get what
so
I mean?
For me now to be acknowledged as like a person rather than like than a PhD, you're probably better off having being a housewife with a husband than having a PhD and being like and being a CEO of a company as mm-hmm. in certain communities. As
once again, a husband. Yeah. You're listening to a bunch of things I don't care about.
Yeah. Like, did you have like any moments in your childhood that you were like, "Wow, that was a cool moment or perception thing"?
You know what? I will say I don't really remember a lot of my childhood. To be fair, like there's just a lot of it that I just
kind of it's not. There.
Like I told you, I checked out early, bro.
Do you remember? Obviously, then do you remember your sister getting married?
Yeah. Like what was
that like? Because obviously you're close with her. Now that did she move out beforehand, or was that when she moved out?
My sister getting married. I wasn't even living at home at the time. She was in. I think what happened was, sorry, I'm getting my timelines mixed up. All I know is, right, I was living in Dublin and I was living at my aunt's house during the summer because I was working. So I was making, this was the first time in my life I was making some decent money. Yeah. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, this is the first time I went into a shop. You know, the first day that money lands in your account and you're looking around like, I could actually buy anything in this. I won't be able to live on anything else, but I could buy everything in this place if I wanted to. But her getting married was... It was like, because we've known her as a husband, she's been dating her husband since they were like 18.
Okay,
like it was like, she got into college, they bucked up, and it's been that since, kind of a situation. So like, I've always known him, he's always been around. I remember the first time he came to the house, it was...
Was he nervous?
Yeah.
you have to be nervous.
what was cool, but you know that awkward moment, you're trying to bust combo with me, I'm trying to bust combo with you. Like
I'll be man.
Do you get what I mean?
And I was saying about my sister Katie, because I love watching her live her life because she's so young. She said she doesn't tell, like every time she tells people she has older brothers, that like obviously she's 15, they said it scares boys away because they think we'll beat them up.
Facts.
And I said, I replied, good. I
got the shit. But yeah, but like, to be honest, the older brother thing is sometimes you look at like, that older brother is a bit too dangerous.
They just hear Nick, hey, get you up. For them, it's just like, it's only Jordan, but they're like, nah, man, that's a 30 year old guy that'll just punch me in the face.
Do you get what I mean? Especially when you're 15 as well.
Yeah.
But the day of wedding was cool. It wasn't like a massive wedding or anything. We did it out in a hotel out in Ashburn. A bunch of people came out. Father was there, funny enough.
Oh, mud.
Yeah, he was there with his wife. I will say there was a moment where he brought one of his friends or something like that, and we were sitting, it was like the day after the wedding, and we were sitting around and we were chatting. So it was me, I think me and my sister, my brother, my father, his friend or whatever. You know, just those chats you have after. And like, you know, when him and his boy are gisting. Yeah. I was like, "Girl, is this what this feels like?" Like, it's like, "Girl, so this is what this family thing feels like." Brother walked my sister down the aisle, actually.
Oh, GB?
Yeah. Mad. Yeah, what was... It was cool, like, it didn't
feel... Did she not want it to be your dad because he was there? Yeah.
Okay. So, what did you really do?
Oh, it's me because we can't have a serious conversation with a charger. It's my fault.
But yeah, no, it was a cool vibe. Like, yeah. Saw everybody, like, Simi was there.
Yeah, no, she tells me.
Simi was there. Like, it was cool. Like, it was just... Yeah. No, I don't think it was like a...
Yeah, whatever. And now that obviously that we've gone through the childhood part of it, then we've talked, you've gone through uni. Do you have now dreams and aspiration of what you want anymore? Do you still dream?
I don't think so, you know. Like,
kind of just, I'm just hearing it.
Like, low-key, and it sounds so bad and it sounds so dead, but like, yeah, for the most part, like, it's weird because like, on one level, I am very ambitious and like, there is a lot of things I want to do, mm-hmm. but... It's not like I have a dream car or a dream thing that I want to do, like, or a dream, like, job or anything like that. Like I would say, maybe my dream is I want to just be paid for being me. Like, I'm increasingly getting sick of working for somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, you know when it's gotten to a point where it's like, you start hitting my stubbornness. Mm. Like, now... Now you're making me because if you want to focus on that and if you want to go there, I can be a prick. And if I decide to not give a fuck, but at the end of the day, the only person that's hurting is me.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Well, at the same time, it's like don't like, I think Travis and Els were on GTG and they're like saying the thing is all men have ego. Mm-hmm. It's just think about being aware of that ego, because you're aware now. It's like, if I bring out this side of me and I start getting egotistical and so you me versus you.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this.
Because I was saying,
I can do this.
Because, like, you know what? You know when it gets to a point where I don't give a fuck anymore?
Yeah.
And the thing is, you're at work. You kind of have to be politically correct. Mm-hmm. You're not going to come and fire me. Mm-hmm. And I know all of the steps that's going to take you to fire me. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, I'm tired of the game. I just want it to be about the work and I don't want to have to...
Yeah, I hear. There is work politics that we have to adhere to that, like, it's like, why is this necessary?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm not coming out for drinks or the Christmas party, it shouldn't be like, oh, I shouldn't hear passive aggressive comments of why I'm never out. Like, you're saying it in joking, but why are you saying this? My work is good.
The thing is, even that I'm not too bothered about. Like, I think with that, no matter what game you play or what industry you're in, you're going to have to deal with that.
Yeah, it's good.
My thing is more, I get the work done from home. Why do I need to be here? Do you get what I'm saying?
Cause like, well, that comes a part of, they want you to feel a part of.
Yeah, fuck off. I'm.
I don't disagree.
I don't do any work for the first hour, but if I show up 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, you're looking at me weirdly.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I don't do anything for the last hour, but if I leave an hour early, now it's like, why is he leaving?
Not even an hour early. 20 minutes.
Now you're looking at me.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I'm not going to start you working mm-hmm. with 20 minutes ago.
And you know, another thing is like, I woke up this morning and I was staring at my ceiling. And I watched that time go by of the time that I was supposed to get out of bed. And I couldn't be bothered. And it's not that I don't want to come to work today. Or I don't want to do the work. I'll happily, gladly get up and do the work. I just don't want to come to the office today.
Yeah, but
I'm not allowed to do that. Because of what?
Because of what?
Like, really, because, like, if it was, you need me in the office and I hear it, I will be there. Mm-hmm. I will, whatever needs to be done to get this work done. But you're telling me, you're not even in the office. No, and you want me here.
That's the thing. I was like, oh, I just plan your work. All right. Plan for me not to be here.
Do you get what I mean? Like, so it's just stuff like that, I guess.
But I think that obviously then, instead of done like dreams, you said not really. What about long run, like starting a family? Is that something you aspire to do?
Like, once again, like I've always said, I do genuinely think the concept of marriage is cold. Like, knowing that you have that one person that is supposed to be on your side no matter what, all the time, like that's your G, that's a person that you don't have to pretend to be something around, like you could just be you, and it's like it's you and them versus, I think that's cold. Like, do you get what I'm saying? However, I've also seen the opposite side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's long. Like, I don't want to be 40 in a marriage where we're housemates.
Yep, and I've had a chat with one of my boys recently about intimacy, and he said like, sometimes the intimacy might go. Now you live with someone 3 years deep, you're literally colleagues and housemates. You're looking after You're not touching each other. You're not being affectionate. All you're doing is going to work, make sure the bills are paid, and going to bed. That can be torturous for both parties. And some people might be at a case where they're like, look, how are we going to fix this? But what if you've tried and there is no, like, bringing back that intimacy that once existed 10 years ago? Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Yeah, like, I think it's just one of those things where you've just got to be intentional from the jump.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? And the thing is, even sometimes, the thing that even scares me as well is that the other person doesn't have to be a horrible person for this to fuck your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, you could be a great person, I could be a great person, but we just have two different ways of lives living. Of thinking of
this
living.
This just doesn't work. And it could have, it worked 5 years ago when this is where we were. 5 years later, we're at different places. I might still be at that place, it might be a different place. Now it no longer works because, A, you might have been more ambitious than me and you want to chase other things. Or I was like, no, my life is comfortable and I could steadily do this for the next 20 years. Mm-hmm. And now we're both great people, but not great for each other. And how do you decipher that? I do, like, every time I hear arguments against marriage, I'm never opposed it because I get it. Like, mm-hmm. I understand it. It's like, my situation has to work for me for the rest of my life. You're waking up betting that a human being is consistent with you through their feelings, trials and tribulations, forever. That's a hard thing to also bet on. I understand. I get it.
Also,
at the same time, it's like...
The other thing is, as well, like, can we please, as a collective, when someone talks about marriage... I don't want to hear the first thing out of your mouth is marriage is hard. Like, can we actually stop that shit? Like, let's get there.
But first,
tell me about why it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah, why is it everything is like, yeah, because you guys get married and you know marriage is hard. Mm. You know marriage is hard.
I think that really stemmed from the previous generation because it was always like, you know marriage is hard because they had to deal with like hardships that maybe we won't tolerate, especially the women, let's say. Mm-hmm. It was hard for them because their husbands were on... crud, left, right, and center, and they just dealt with it, so it was hard. Whereas our generation, I don't know if marriage is hard because life is hard, but it would be a different type of hardship, I believe, anyways. I just don't want it to be a thing that's like, you know, marriage is hard, but yeah, because your husband had a second family on you and you was never there for your kids, so yeah, your marriage is hard. Do you still have friends today that are recently married for last 5 years that say marriage is hard?
Not for the most part, they don't.
Yeah,
but it's,
I think,
just
it was
like
a thing maybe from previous generation, they would definitely say.
Because it just feels like I do understand, like you said, the concept of being with one person, and it's like, you like, okay, like let's even say with you and your marriage now, and your relationship, full stop. There has been probably like 5 or 6 different versions of Simi.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
do you get what I'm saying? Like. The version of Simi that you had 3 months ago mm-hmm. is not the version of Simi now.
Before the pregnancy, it was definitely not the
what's
same.
What's called?
In college, it's definitely not the same.
Do you get what I'm saying?
No, she's working, definitely not the same. The people keep changing and evolving.
Do you get what I'm saying? And it's like, at what point does, like, let's say you turn 40, you've had all your kids and all of that, mm-hmm. and now all of a sudden you feel like you haven't done enough in life.
Yeah.
Now you're wanting to be outside, mm-hmm. but me, I've done everything I wanted to do. I'm a homebody. Mm-hmm. And now you're saying, let's move to America, let's go to Australia, let's do this. And I'm like, babes.
Midlife crisis.
I'm not about that right now. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, I do understand the concept of, like, marriage is hard, but I don't want marriage is hard to make me end up in a situation where I'm just sitting there and I'm just unhappy.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? I don't mind dealing with the hardships and dealing with the ups and downs of marriage. I just don't want to have to use marriage is hard as an excuse for, yo, my marriage is actually not hard. It's just shit and I just don't need to be in it.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? So it's like, everyone keeps looking at it like, I don't believe in marriage or love or shit like that, but I actually will say though,
only married 2 years, so I always have to preface by saying that, but the marriage aspect of the 8 years with Simi has probably been the best part of the relationship.
Fam, a lot
because
of...
Because there's just stability. Yeah, yeah. Like, when you're in a relationship, every fight or every break or those breakups could feel like, is this the breakup? Mm-hmm. Is this the one that finally sticks? But now it's Akash says this in a special. But now if she's mad and she's like, she hasn't done it, like, yeah, but even if she's mad, she's like, I'm going to visit my mom. All right, last you come here. But when I was in the relationship, she's like, if she's mad and she leaves my house and she goes back to hers, I don't know if she's going to text me. Like, you're always mm-hmm. anxious and insecure. So the marriage aspect so far has been the best because, you know, like, we will eventually have to deal with this and we will both want to.
Mm-hmm.
But I get what you're saying. Some people say marriage is hard, but they're just in a shit marriage.
Do you get what I'm saying? And like once again, and this is why when we were watching Love is Blind, when some of the things Clay was saying was making sense. It's just that, bruv, your own was a bit too much.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, like, once again, like I say, I have one uncle, like, bro, uncle was up, man. Like, he was the guy that I would look at, like, yo, rah, like, mine's pulling up to the house in different cars all the time. Like, he was the first car that I pulled up in, and there was a TV in the car, bro. I lost my mind.
So where's the exhibit?
Do you know what I'm saying? And you know, he was one of the first adults I saw with a PlayStation. Mm. Bro, man had a PlayStation, got an Xbox. Bro, I'm like nine looking at this like, yo, yeah, you really are that guy.
You figured out life.
And then, bad marriage. Bro, and also, the thing is, this is the uncle that everyone looked at, yo. Uncle, that's well, you know, when there's like there's the fine boy uncle, he was the fine boy uncle, and then it's like, you know, when bruv, you really see that relationship age a nigga, like, you really see that, and it's just like, rah,
yeah,
and it's like, one marriage happened, this happened, and it's just like, bruv,
yeah, it kind of, and that's what you need, example of beautiful marriages to, if you want to sell the idea of marriage. My marriage isn't to sell the idea of marriage. My marriage is because it works for me. Like, I'm not here to sell anybody mm-hmm. my marriage. I know I talk about weddings. I just don't attend anybody's weddings. I don't see people's weddings. But I don't, like, even, like, Elidia, shout out Elidia. She gave me a compliment on, like, the episode. And it kind of felt uncomfortable because I'm like, I'm just figuring it out, like, everybody. I'm not doing anything for Congolese men PR mm-hmm. or to be a certain way. I'm just doing what's going to work for me to make my life easy.
But I think those are the most authentic people are the people that it's like, my marriage isn't to try and like sell your marriage, or she's yeah. like, oh my God, you never had great relationships, you never had great examples of marriage. Look at my, it's not, yeah, those yeah, don't that's work.
Definitely not.
Don't look at mine.
Don't look at mine, because it works because of the dynamic of the people in it. Back to like Love is Blind, that time we talked about it. That, like, okay, buddy, like I said, that could be the dynamic of their relationship. Obviously, it didn't
don't
work.
Try that.
Yeah, yeah, obviously, it didn't work. But I would understand if people are saying, like, no, this works for me. Never look at someone's marriage and be like, oh, that looks fun. I would like that. Because you're not the same people. You're not coming from, you don't know the trials and tribulations that they've gone through. Because this week I've seen on the timeline, it's like they said, oh, I can't remember what it was, but a girl then replied and it says, oh, when men said they want their, why can't you be more like my mom? Because they want you to go through that suffering that their mom went through and to stick through it. And then I said equally, when girl says, I want you to be more like my dad, it's like, yeah, because they want you to be, give them princess treatment or you're a broke nigga. My thing is, never look at anybody, even your parents, do not look at their marriage and try to form yours, because it's not going to happen. Different generations, different people, different circumstances. You cannot emulate what another person has. That's what it is.
And I think that's just the long short of it. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, no, that's great knowing about your fam. It's time to gist.
Talk to me.
Nah. So, I was on TikTok the other day, yeah, and this girl was doing
4-2. Hold on.
This girl was doing a story time about how she was on a date and her ex pulled up a seat.
I respect pettiness,
bro.
I respect it. So, oh, we all eat. That sounds like a Malik B skit. You know that guy that does the skits? That sounds like one of his skits,
bro. I'll send you TikTok after.
Yeah.
So. She was like, her and this guy, they were together, like, what's called, they broke up, and they've been broken up for, like, 3 months now. Like, she was never afraid of him or anything like that. Like, he's upset about the breakup, but, you know, he'll get over it. Mm. So now she's seen a new guy, whatever. The guy's like, oh, let me take you out, let's go out, whatever. So she's like, yeah, cool. She goes on a date, looks nice, gets her little dress, goes to the restaurant. Now they're in conversation, like, date's going well, they're in the conversation. And in the corner of her eye, like, she can see someone coming towards her, but you know when you're in the conversation, like, if you're on a good date, it's just you and the person that you're on a date with. Like, you're not really paying attention.
The whole route is blind as well, be an empty room.
Do you get what I mean? Mm. So, like, she just sees a figure coming, and then it's like, sees a chair pull out, but she's just assuming it's the table next to them. And then the chair flips around and sits down. And in this part, she's still not really, you just haven't clocked what's happening. And then she looks over and she sees her ex. She says her heart just drops. Like, she's just shocked. She doesn't know what to say. And
how would he do that, though?
Bruv.
Niggas are crazy sometimes, man.
So then the guy is there like, yo, is everything okay? Like, can I help you kind of a situation? She's still gobsmacked at this point. And he's like, yeah, I'm calm. It's just like, it's just nice to see you on a date with my wife.
Wife? Not even ex-wife. Wait. He must have said this to be paid.
100%. 100%. So she's still just looking and doesn't have a fuck what's going on. Like, because to be honest, I hear in that situation, I would like, you'd be, I understand being frozen and just speechless in that situation.
Yeah.
And Then she comes back and she's like, what are you doing? Like, what are you actually doing? Like we're not together. Like, what are you actually doing kind of a situation?
As the guy knew the date, he was like, yeah, crazy ex, I'm out. Unless you're smoking. I can deal with a crazy ex if the girl is smoking.
No, what's cool? Because she's like, he's aware of the situation. She's like, oh, I was last in a relationship. I was in a relationship like 3 months ago. Boy, it wasn't like you're not expecting a nigga to pop up.
And even if they did pop up, awkwardly walk past. Don't fucking pull up a chair.
I'm not done. So it's like what you do in kind of a situation is like brother, you like the guy's like bro, are you like you good or whatever? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. Like, and so the guy sits down and is like, you're looking nice. Like, is that the dress I bought for you? And now when they start going back and forth, she's like, what are you doing? He's like the guy that she's on date is like, babe, are you okay? And then her ex is like, babe, yeah, you got man calling you babe and that. you got man calling you babe.
You'll have to think you're getting punked.
Fam, you know them ones. And the guy was like, right, like you got man calling you babes and that. And he's like, and the girl's like, are you good? And he's like, yeah, she's good. You know what? Are you good?
Would you fight?
We'll get there. So now the guy too is shocked like for a second. Like, everything goes silent for a second. Like, what the fuck? You know when you're like, what the fuck is happening? So it's like, and then her ex is like, yeah, what, you got man calling you babes and all of this. Like, bro, like you don't let her have you out here looking like a dickhead and get punched up on this table. And she's like, she's met this guy and all she's seen is like the gentleman kind side, but she doesn't know if, you know, you can be soft spoken and kind and everything, but also be crazy. Her ex is crazy. So you got like, and she's like, while this is going on, nobody's watching. Like, it's not like this is shout match or anything's getting loud. It's just happening in your little world, isn't it? And then the guy's like, yeah, what, are you good? Kind of situation. And he stands up. And then the guy that's on the date is like, bro, if it doesn't, like, he's like, oh yeah, let's go outside, didn't it? Like, what's called? Let's go. Her ex is like, yo, let's go have a conversation outside. I don't want to get loud in these people's place, kind of a situation. And the guy's like, bro, we don't got to go outside. We don't have to go outside. Look, it's like, yo, if he turns to the girl, like, look, if you want him here, that's cool. But if you don't want him here, I'm sure he'll be man enough to understand and leave, kind of a situation. Mm. To understand and kind of leave, kind of a situation. And then what even happened again? Anyways, this keeps going on now, and then the waiter comes, and Bray is bringing drinks. He sees another chair, he's like, oh, are you joining them? The guy goes, yeah, I'm joining them. Sits down, is like, yeah, you know what? Takes the menu, starts flicking through, like, yo, like, what can I order, kind of a situation. The guy's like, bro, you're doing too much. Like you're doing too much. And then he goes to the girl, like, look, if this man is going this hard for you, I'm just not interested. I'm out. Do you want a lift home or what's the situation? And she's like, yeah, can I get a lift home? And then the guy goes, nah, she's good. She's not going home. If you want to go home, that's cool, but she's not going home.
What, like, is she doing in all this?
What
is she doing in all this?
Bro, what can you do? What can you do?
This is one of those when she probably went home and she was probably turned on by the way her ex acted.
Yeah. And then her ex was like, right, this is what you want to leave man for. He's not even, like, I'm here fighting for you. He's not even going to fight for you. Kind of situation. This is what you want to leave man for. Anyways.
What did she go home with?
Anyways, so he's like, look, you said you're good. I'm gone, innit? He leaves. Now her ex gets out of the seat, sits across from her, and just starts like, yeah, so you've been good, yeah? And then they sit down and they eat.
I knew it. I knew she was enjoying it. I knew she was, because I've seen too many girls say that they like that shit. I've seen too many girls say that, like, when a nigga sends on business for them.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, but I've actually seen girls that say, they said when they've seen like an ex or an ex link act like that, it kind of like that possessiveness, that ego, I've seen girls say they kind of like it.
Yeah. Oh, also, what happened apparently was when her and the guy went into the restaurant, two of his boys were there. And there's like, oh, your babes is here.
So then he says,
say no more, I'm pulling up.
Pulling up, yeah.
Now, as the other guy, right, if you start getting all, and like, first of all, it's giving very much, remember that meme? Are you ready to die for this pussy? I am. That's the energy it's giving. And I'm not, babes, I just met you.
And then he just proved, I was, to her anyways, that moment, I was willing to fight for you right now, any man. There's girls that like that.
Yeah, no, I hear that. But yeah. if the guy on the date ends up getting in a fight, yeah, he would have gotten his head smashed in. Because two of the guy's boys were there. And they even end up pulling up on the seat after they're eating. Like, yeah.
That's the thing. That's another thing. You just never know. Again, another reason is you don't fight as an adult.
Bro, it's not worth
you
it.
You don't know. All for what?
Yeah, you don't know. Yo, see, once again, that level of stress is not worth it. You're not worth it. Yeah. Like, yeah. I have
especially
to,
for the date that I want
to literally have to be in love with you already to have to deal with that. Yeah. Like, yeah, no, that's it. I actually don't know what I do.
Yeah, as when you were saying, I was like, well, are they actually gonna fight? And then by the time you got to the end, when he said, when you said he told her, no, she's not leaving, she's staying. I knew she was gonna stay. Like I just because after God, I fear women. I knew she was like, nah, she must be liking this at some point, because for her to then stay and still have food with that guy that's doing all of this, maybe they're exes for a reason. Like, kind of like we're talking about that guy Trevor. Some people like they're embroiled within the toxicity. And they enjoy part of it.
Yeah, but bro, no, that's why. That's so. Yeah.
No, shout out her, though. Shout out her.
Hey, yo, look, why the fuck not? Like,
yeah, if you're new here, we haven't introduced the podcast today before we ended it. If you're new here, we are Charging to the Game.
Bang, bang.
We are the podcast with the highest level of culture needs. I'm Daddy J, but you must call me Jordan. And I'm here with...
You know it's your girl's favorite voice, Big Dej Nigga with the Midas Touch. Right. Yo, while you're here, please make sure you like, you share, you subscribe, you comment. Yep. It's been amazing the past couple of days, to be fair. Yep. Subscribers have gone up. Yep. We're on the road to 500 subs, so please sort us out. Help a brother out. Make sure you leave a like, make sure you leave a comment, and yeah.
And if you made it to the end of this party and you like anything that we said today, well, you can charge. Bang, thank you for listening.